This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Mysticism.
I'm definitely curious. Coming off Karate Kid, big success. I'm imagining that you're being offered a lot of stuff. What was it about this project that said, this is what I want to do for my next film?
Well, I've always liked the fantasy movies and Harry Potter. Having young kids, it obviously opens up another level of enthusiasm for those kinds of movies. I've always loved Indiana Jones and anything that had to do with action fantasy. And this one in particular was interesting because it had a female lead, and I think she's very strong. I admire her courage, and I think it's kind of interesting, the psychological aspect of it, that she's actually not investigating something external, she's investigating her own memory and her own mind. And that was enough for me to jump on it.
Can you talk about the challenges of doing some of the effects work? Because that's not something that you've dealt with a lot.
Well, I've done it a lot in commercials.
Right.
I've had...
But not on the scale.
Well, I've done some big commercials.
So then I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, it's... effects work to me is often, and stunt work, it's where you bring in the professionals, and it's more mathematical solutions than it is unsolvable problems. I find that finding the emotional tone in a scene, what level should they be at, and getting great performances is much more of an unknown challenge than actually working with effects and stunts.
When Lily talked to us, she said that one nice thing is that you've been very receptive to the actor's own suggestions. Obviously, there's a script to follow, but if they have something about how they think a scene should be conveyed, you're receptive to it. Is that something that you carry throughout your whole career and experience, or is that something that you kind of trusted these actors to be able to do?
Well, it's not only the actors. I think making films is... listening to everybody around you, even the DP or the producers, those people have suggestions, because it's not like... it's maybe a silly metaphor, but it's a little bit like you step on a stage, and I'm not a really good jazz musician or anything, but I would imagine that if you play... The guys who really know how to play jazz, they agree on a beat, and then they listen to other musicians, and, you know, eventually it becomes a great jam session that ends in a really great piece of music. I think filmmaking is... I try to think about what it is, but I think filmmaking is very close to that, where you come in and you have a script, you think it's one thing, and it ends up being something completely different. And very often actors who are... the people who have to say these lines that you've been sitting with, you know, sit there with score, and you're inspired by a movie you've seen, and you write some lines, and it's completely pretentious, and the actors come and go, it just doesn't sound right when I say it. Then you got to go, okay, let's find a way to make it work for you. And as long as the intention is the same, I think there's no, you know, there's no rules or regulations. Let's just make the best of it.
And there's been a good rapport between you and the actors.
Yeah. No, we have a great time.
What were some of your artistic points of reference when creating this world? And also, what did you do to kind of distinguish it from the other sort of young adult fantasy properties?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. It's a... I mean, what I liked about the project was that it was a good opportunity to really ground it. And I've been trying to somehow see how can I take all of Cassandra's magical ideas and somehow almost scientifically explain them. You know, how could we make sure that... Do these demons exist on a different frequency? Is there a vibration thing? And that's when I started thinking, is it the music thing? And we brought in Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach's music, and we thought, oh, maybe there's something hidden in... You know, it's a little bit like the Da Vinci Code, where you take already existing phenomenons and you back into a solution. And I think one of the things we've had lots of fun with is taking Cassandra's, because she has so many things in there, and try to somehow explain it a little bit, because some things you have to explain a little more in movies than you can do with a book, where you have lots of time to explain things. I don't know how we're distinguishing ourselves from the other ones, because I think the other ones have done a great job of what they do. I've just been obsessed with making sure I had great actors for all the parts. I think one of the successes with, for instance, Harry Potter, where even the smallest parts are great, great actors. And that's kind of something I've been really striving to get. So the casting has been really important.
How do you balance the needs to sort of set up a franchise versus ensure that this movie stands alone?
I haven't thought of this as a franchise at all. I mean, it's obviously out there, but unless this movie's great, there is no franchise. And I think it's been important to make sure the movie has an emotional closure, because you know the book is very cleverly set up that you almost have to read the second book in order to get a lot of the questions that's being raised at the end. But we've been really working hard on making sure that the movie at least had an emotional closure to it. So it's almost a little trying to not think of the franchise as much as just focusing on one movie at a time.
I have a film nerd question. Film or digital, and why?
I still think there's an argument to make for film. I fought really hard, and the producers were very supportive of going with film. I still, to this day, think there is a distinguishable difference. And to me, this was not a monster movie. This was, I went as far as to when I spoke to like the composer and the designer, I said, think of it as Amadeus. It's much more Amadeus than it is a vampire monster movie. Because, you know, Francois Sagan, the DP I have, and the composers, they're all people who don't do monster movies necessarily. So I wanted to really approach it from a different direction. And the romantic idea of this movie, the love story, lends itself a lot more to the skin tone and the romance and the beautiful imagery we can do with film that I still think is much more forgiving when you use film than with digital.
I'm also curious about your music choices. Are you already thinking about soundtrack? Are you thinking about certain songs in certain places?
No, we haven't started there yet, but I've hired Gabriel Yared, who is a fantastic composer, who, when I called him up, he said, sorry, you want me to do what? Because, you know, he's done The English Patient and some of those really epic, beautiful movies. And I said, well, there are vampires and there are werewolves, but it's at the core, it's a love story. And a lot of people can do action movie music, but very few people can really move you emotionally. And I think that's why I hired him for that.
Are you planning to shoot in New York as well, or is it mostly here?
We're doing some pickup shots, establishing shots, anything to sell the movie that it happens in New York. Yeah that's all in the works.
I'll ask a question.
What scene do you think the Die Hard fans are going to be the most excited to see?
Oh, you know, that's been a deep analysis for all of us, including Cassandra. It's like, what must we keep and what can we... Because out of any reason, you know, sometimes logic doesn't play, or even budgetary reasons. I don't know. I really don't know. I think we're shooting iconic book scenes every day, like today when she learns that Jace is her brother, is one of them. We're joking with Lily. She has what she calls oh my God moments every single day, where people give her a piece of information that turns her world upside down. I think when Simon says that he loves her, I think when Dorothea tells her their moms, I don't know, there's some really... I think we've managed to keep all of them.
Are you doing 3D on this movie? Was there a lot of debate on doing 3D?
We debated that for a little bit, and we decided that it wasn't necessary. It was, again, the target group and the romantic idea of it, and it's less... need for 3D on it. We just found that it was really no need for it.
Are you a fan of the 3D?
Yeah, I love 3D. I mean, even though I don't do this one in 3D, I still love 3D. I love seeing the Pixar movies in 3D, and sometimes I just saw actually Dial M for Murder restored in 3D, which I thought was fantastic. But again, completely could have just as well been in 2D and would have been the same impact, even though Hitchcock did put a lot of stuff in the near foreground to sell the 3D. No, I'm a fan of 3D. We just came to the conclusion it was not necessary for this movie.
We have one more question, and then Carol has to go to a meeting.
The author on set, was there any trepidation on your part about that initially happening on set, or what is it like? you talk a little bit about that dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, I know people think sometimes that can be a frightening thing, but Cassandra's really, really flexible with her material. She sees that as long as we keep her intentions and what she knows that the fans love, and she's been very cool. And I've been emailing and calling her a lot where I've been going through the movie, and I've said, can you come up with a different solution how to do this, because that's just, I can't shoot this, or it doesn't work for them. And she writes me pages, and so that's been really great. She's fantastic in that sense. Good.
Thank you so much.
No, pleasure.
Thank you very much.